It's time once again for Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, and we thank you for tuning in today. And we're in Lesson 14 in Matthew chapter 4. Lesson 14 in Matthew chapter 4, and we hope that today you will understand some things about what God, Jesus Christ, was doing in Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5 through 6. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5 through 6. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In verses 5 and 6, the devil is taking him up to a holy city, and Satan's quoting Scripture to Jesus. Okay, you've seen that, right? Let me ask you this. If there's one person that you know knows the Bible better than you do, who would you say it is?
Benny Hinn.
No. You're quoting preachers' names, but who is it? It's Satan, isn't it? Satan. He's learned this for thousands and thousands of years. Satan is going to use the Word to trick Jesus. You know that? And does he not use the Word to trick us in our thinking? He does. Satan in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6 is... You know what? You know when he's quoting that Scriptures in verse 6, you know where it's at? Go to Psalms chapter 91. I'm glad you said that. Psalms chapter 91. Okay. Psalms 91. This is what Satan is quoting. Because you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is quoting Scriptures. Guess what Satan's going to do? He's going to start quoting Scriptures. But look what he does here. See if you pick this up. Okay. Psalms 91, starting with verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Verse 13. Then shalt tread upon the lion. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. You know what Satan's quote? You read what he just quoted. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Hold your finger there. Matthew chapter 6. Cast thyself down, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give thee His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. You probably didn't compare that, but Satan's misquoting and mishandling the Word of God. Okay? What Satan did, he was to add and subtract from the Word of God in that verse. It shouldn't surprise you because he did it in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. But the same thing he did with Adam. And then, well, guess what Adam and Eve did? Did they stand up and say, no, you're misquoting the Word of God? No, they failed. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, it says, For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Psalms 91 verse 11 says, For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee and all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. You know what he leaves out there? To keep thee in all thy ways. And you know what he added to? Lest at any time. Now Satan's quoting, misquoting the Word of God. That should tell you some things out there. He can cast doubt in your mind and use the Word of God against you. Also, doesn't quote the next verse. Verse 13. Remember what verse 13 talked about?
It talks about
what Jesus Christ is going to do to him. He don't talk about the next verse in the 13th. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and otter, thou young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. I wouldn't quote that either if I was Satan, because you know what? Is it scriptural? Okay? Go to verse 7. Matthew 7. You needed to see that because Satan would take the Word of God and corrupt it. Now we know that we talked about versions and stuff like that, and how they, you know, it ain't Satan's book. It's what they done. They took it and made it a corrupt version out of it. They followed the law, a wrong text. And if you follow the minority text issue and follow the majority text issue, you'll find out how it was corrupted. Okay? But I do know this. Genesis chapter 3, Satan adds to, subtracts, waters down, and totally denies the Word of God. So you got to keep that in mind, that he's capable of doing that. He's capable of taking this Word of God, preserved in English language, and doing that to people. Misquoting it. Number 7. Jesus said unto him, it was written again, thou shalt not tempt thy Lord thy God. Now let me ask you this. Where do you think the Lord Jesus Christ is quoting this from? I know many of you got reference Bibles and stuff, but then you're looking at it. But think about it. He's quoting the Scriptures. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. What did we say Deuteronomy was? Repeat the second giving of the law. This is what, well, he says in Deuteronomy 6:16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempt him in Massah. On other hands, Jesus' response, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's Deuteronomy 6:16. Everywhere he's quoting from is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 7, and 8. When he's dealing with Satan. Jesus stays faithful to the Word. You will never be able to stand against the devil, if you will, without one, having sound doctrine in your soul. Now, many of us may think we can stand in front of the devil, but if you don't have that doctrine in your soul rightly divided, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be tossed to and fro with every winds of doctrine. You have to know what God's program is all about and be rooted and built up in your soul so it can operate in your life. That's what we do here at Canton Grace Fellowship. You know, we're going to give you the Word of God, rightly divided, where it gets into your soul and your doctrine, and you start believing it, and it makes a difference in your life, in the decisions that you make. Satan is too crafty, isn't he? He's wily. Okay? You and I are not going to be able to beat him by doing something good. You know that? You have to quote, you have to stand by, you have to do what God says in His Word, rightly divided, and stand on it and know what the Scripture says. Every time Satan quotes Scriptures, Lord Jesus Christ quotes Scriptures, like I said, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 through 8. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, thou shalt not tempt the Lord God, as ye tempted him in Massah. You have to understand how they tempted God. Go to Exodus chapter 17. Let's look at this for a second. Exodus chapter 17. Now the children of Israel, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? Out of bondage. And where's he taking them to? He's going to take them to the promised land, okay? And there's some promises that God made to the nation Israel through Abraham that He's going to fulfill. And is Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandments of the Lord, and pitched a tent in Rhithm. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, what chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? Okay, that's a big capital, isn't it? Okay. And the people thirst there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massa, and was that Meribah? Because of the children of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" You see, the children murmured, right, for water, and chided Moses, and tempted the Lord about the fact that they was thirsty. They tempted thou God. You know, when you tempt thou God, you know what that's a sign of?
Unbelief.
You're doubting God's provision. Did God not say He's going to take care of them? Yes, He did. Back in Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, He uses this, and Jesus lets Satan know that he is not questioning or doubting God's word or provision. With me? He's standing by the word of God back in Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. So he's showing them how, if you doubt God, okay, it's not good. You're questioning them. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said to him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." You remember the three things we looked at? The lust, remember, of the food, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three things are being dealt with there. Satan tempts the Lord Jesus Christ in three ways. One, the first temptation was, "Jesus, do it yourself. Turn this bread into stone," right? You do it. Then number two says, "Let God do it as far as cast thyself down." And then this one, Satan himself will do it. All the worldly things he will give you. In Luke, you don't have to turn there, but Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 13 is Luke's account of what God is doing with Jesus being tempted here. And I love what Luke's version says when it comes to this point. Jesus said, "It is said." You know, it is written, it's written, it is said. But Satan takes Jesus Christ out of to the seat of the government of the universe. That's what he's doing. And it's not just some hill on the earth. You realize that? Man, some of these movies that come out today that depicts a lot of this stuff, and they just shows the kingdoms of the world and stuff. You know what I mean? Out over the areas, and it's like, whoa. You know, this is real. And that's what Satan did. He took Jesus up and showed him the governments of the universe. And offers Jesus the earth. Remember, Satan is the god of this world. Now, where do you find that at? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not." And he also is the prince and power of the air. Where do you find that at? Paul's epistles in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Wherefore ye in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air." So he's the prince and power of the air, and also the god of this world. You don't think he's got authority? You better believe he does. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 9. And he said unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. If. Remember that word we talk about? If. It's putting doubt. It's wanting doubt. If thou wilt fall down and worship me. Satan's main entrance and greatest desire is a religious system for the world to bow down and worship him. Okay? He desires that, and what we shared this before, he would be like the Most High God. That's Isaiah chapter 14. You remember what it says? Let's turn there. You got to remember this, man. This is what keeps me on the forefront of who Satan is and was and wants to be. And well, over here in ages to come, he is. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Verse 12. He is the real prince of this world. He is the God of this world. He's a little g. Okay? We know who the Lord Jesus Christ is by His death, burial, and resurrection. We know that through Paul's epistles, we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords, right? And is King of Kings. But He also is in royal exile. He's not just sitting up there hiding, oh, Father, what I need to do. He's waiting for this dispensation of grace to end so He can come back with fire and vengeance and glory and power. Amen. He's coming back. Matthew, what did I say? Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart. See, it's a heart issue. It always starts right there. Pride. I'll never believe this message. You know, I won't believe a God can preserve a word. I won't believe that they can meet here, meet there. You know what I mean? It's pride. Prideless. I don't like that word. I don't like proud. You know, very few times will I ever say I'm proud of my children. Because pride cometh before the fall. I am thankful for my children, even when they do bad. You know, because I'm thankful I can... Yes, correct them. Reproof them in their mind and their behavior. But look, verse 13. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit up as upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the what? Most High. And what do we find out about that term being the Most High means what? Possessor of heaven and earth. It's a title, isn't it? Okay? And that's who God... There's five I wills there. And Satan's working it. And he's the God of this world. He's control of a lot of things here. He's also a prince and power of the air. Now many of you know that the universe is shaped like a rectangle. Okay? It's not a circle. It's a rectangle. And God sits on top of that. That's the third heaven. That's where God's throne is. And then you look at that blue sky right there. That's the first heaven. And then you see the stars in the universe. That's the second heaven. And then that's where God, next is God, where God's at. You can see those things, but you can't see where God's at. There's a molten glass over the universe where you can't see it. Then he says, verse 10, Matthew 4:10. Shotgun. You know, it's hard to find, but look at this. 4:10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall ye serve. Amen. That's a powerful verse for him to go tell Satan, the God of this world, the prince of power of the world, get behind me, Satan. Okay, it says, so for it is written, up until this point, the Lord Jesus Christ was conversing with Satan. With me? Okay? But now he rebukes Satan. And he goes, and Satan goes away. But he goes away for a season.
Well, that had to be the...
However, think about this. There begins the contention that Jesus will experience with Satan until he dies at Calvary. Now the contention. Here's another person that's God in the flesh coming here, going to take all this away from me. In Zechariah chapter 3, look at these. Let's look at some verses right quick. Zechariah chapter 3, Colossians chapter 2. There's a contention that starts to grow when Lord Jesus Christ rebukes Satan. You know, that's hard doing. You know, standing up to people and rebuking them. You know, I like to use the word reproofing. You know, but as adults, we kind of tend to come to each other, hopefully in a mature manner, but we still want to rebuke people when they misquote the Word of God or use another dispensation to live in. Zechariah, what did I say?
Chapter 3.
Zechariah chapter 3. Verse 1 and 2. Zechariah. Let me turn to myself. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now, if I'm God Almighty, and I'm the judge, this would appear that Satan's on my right hand right there, don't it? But think about this. If Satan is standing on the right hand, and he's standing in front of God, this is where he's standing. He's not up here with God. He's standing over here. So he's resisting Joshua because Joshua's on the right hand in front of God.
Well, that's what it sounds like. Satan's standing at his right hand.
Right hand.
I think it would be Joshua's right hand.
Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. It is not this a brand plucked out of the fire. Now Joshua was clothed in fitly garment and stood before the angel. So here the Lord God Almighty is rebuking Satan. So it's not like the first time he's been rebuked. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. This is what he's done today for us in the dispensation of grace. Think about this. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwritten of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to whose cross? His cross. Not my cross. His cross, which became my cross, once identified with the death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 15. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. With what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, the instrumentality of what he did, died, buried, rose again, okay? It triumphed openly over that principalities and powers. Oh, what a rebuke it is. You know? Go to Isaiah chapter 50. Here, you know, the confrontation of what we just read, Jesus openly makes the statement and triumphs over him. Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Verse 5. The Lord God had opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that plucked out of the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God hath helped me, therefore... By the way, verse that you just read is the only verse you'll find out he plucked his beard out. That's where you find that. You know, when they talked about he plucked his beard, right here it is. Who's he talking about? Okay, verse 7. And the Lord God will help him, help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justify me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. He's saying right there and then and there, look, Satan's contending with me, but who are you? Where are you? I'm believing God. I am God. I'm going to rebuke thee. Go to Psalms chapter 22. Back up to Psalms. I bet many of us never thought in 1,000 years that there was so much to learn out of the book of Matthew. When you study it and start comparing it, what it really means in a dispensational view and understanding it as a transitional book. And everything that we're going to study happens right over there in ages to come. And he was preparing that little flock and he's preparing that nation to understand some things that God will provide for them. No matter what. Psalms 22, verse 16. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my what? That's how where you find out they pierced his feet. So you won't find it over in the four gods, but they pierced his feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. The part of my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Did that happen? Yes. See, this is a prophecy that's going to foretell. Remember we talked about prophecy? Something spoke since the world began? Verse 19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength hast thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. Does he save him? Okay, he does, don't he? Okay, he has to go some things. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Even today, who is contending against you? Who is the adversary? And he's going to be there, but who's got the victory?
We do
in Christ Jesus, don't we? So don't let a lot of things when you come standing for the word of truth and stand for it that you're worried about some doctrinal ignorant person, if you will, to come upon you and share one more verse than you know. Just believe what you do know. But going back to Matthew chapter 4, starting now, at this point, in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, he is here to redeem his people. Now, who's his people? Okay, Israel, right? And to take his rightful place as king over the earth. And Satan begins an all-out war with all this, the spirits, demonic spirits, and there's going to be a time come on this earth like no other time has been known about the spirits coming against Satan, Jesus Christ, and his in its little flock, if you will. They run rampant in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, don't they? We know that when Joshua crossed into the promised land, he went and God said, take care of this tribe, or Hivites, Levites, not Levites, but the Hezekites and the Jebusites and all those ites, that Satan's strongholds in that promised land. And if they went in across that river and done what God said, then they wouldn't have had half the trouble that they had to begin with. That's why, if you think about it, the reasons why Jesus Christ quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 through 8, it's because it was where the laws and the commandments of God was given to Israel prior to them going into that land. Okay? Now Jesus Christ is on this earth, and He too comes to possess the land. Does He not? In order to have a kingdom, you've got to have the king established, and He's working on the kingdom. And Israel should have had done that. Israel should have been the true Israel in times past. Many of us know that by now. Israel should have been the true vine and identifying themselves in a separate way from that world system that Satan's put up. But what Jesus Christ comes, He comes as the true Israel. He comes as the true vine. He come to be baptized just like John, to be identified with that little flock. Okay? And He's identifying Himself with the faithful remnant. Go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Look at verse 6 for a second. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning them, and their hands, that they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash the foot against the stone. What did that verse we just read say? It's not what we just read, but verse 11. And the angels came and ministered to him. Okay?
They were right there.
And verse 6 says the angels would come if thou cast himself down. But the angels no doubt did come. And you know what they did? They ministered to him. They fed him. Because why? Then it's when we first started, when he hungry?
Yeah.
40 days he fasted and he still hungered? God delivered and made provision because He is faithful and worshiped God. See that? See what He did? Today, if you think about it, we have the same victory over sin. Now, a lot of people may not understand this, but we do. Okay? I believe wholeheartedly that the power of God, the Holy Spirit, I don't want to scare nobody off, but the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, okay, and is the same Spirit that lives inside of me today. Is it the same Spirit that lives inside of you today? Can you have power over sin? Yes, you can. But you know what? We make choices, don't we? We make choices not to do this, and we make choices not to do that. We make choices to say this, and we make choices to say that. But we don't have to. And you know something? You will not lose anything else. You know, a lot of people say, oh my gosh, if I give that up, you know, then I won't have this. Let me tell you something. When my wife and I started standing for this truth over 20-some years ago, a little 20 years ago, this year, we lost a lot. Now, we didn't lose jobs. You know, we didn't lose worldly things. We lost family. We lost friends. We lost people that thought was our friends because they was Christians, if you will. But they had no idea what this message means and what you have to give up for what God did. You know what I'm talking about? So we have victory in Satan through Christ, okay, and the faith in God's Word. That's where our victory is. Father, we do thank You for so much in our life, and we thank You for the things You've given us freely. Until next week, amen.